Hi, sweetie.
I'm an addict. My name is Anne Marie. Hey, everybody. And I love Narcotics Anonymous. And whenever I get the opportunity to try to give something back to some place that has given me far more than I'll ever be able to repay, I always start off by saying I love Narcotics Anonymous. Everything that I have, and I understand that God brought me here, but I need to say that when I got here, I wasn't aware that that's what happened. I had no idea how I ended up someplace so wonderful, loving, and caring. But after staying here for a while, what has happened is I realized that it was God all the time. So I'm grateful for God, but I need to say that Narcotics Anonymous was the first thing that ever was any kind of power that I assumed to be greater than myself. Nothing else. Listen, I come from a good place. I want to welcome the newcomer. I want to tell the newcomer that we love you and that we need you and that you can do this. There may be a new person out there that may believe that they can't do this. There may be somebody who's been coming around our program a long time who can't seem to, for whatever reason, get it in their mind. They think they gotta get it. I'm telling you, this your time right here. This your day right here. If you just hold on and you just don't cop and you just do what we do. This thing is not really no like rocket science or nothing. As a matter of fact, most intellects couldn't stop copping. So it ain't an intellectual disease. It ain't about how smart you are or about how articulate you are. This whole thing is about not knowing what to do but being willing to follow direction. You don't even have to know what to do. All you got to do is be willing to follow that person in front of you who seems to be able to stay clean and do exactly what they do. And that's what happened. You know, I hear a lot of people say stuff like, you know, people want to be popular in anonymous program. Well, I don't really believe that that's what it is. I believe that as you stay here and as you spend time, you know, working on yourself, believing and buying into the program, and other people believe in you and your recovery, like Just for the Day says, and you happen to, you know, share your recovery with other people through many means. Speaking is not the only way to share your recovery. Some people have these wonderfully loving hugs. Some people just show up to meeting and they show up over and over and over and over. And as they show up, people begin to get a glimpse of hope just through seeing them. And as you keep doing that, what happens is through what the program needs you to do, through the 12th step, which says, you know, carry the message to the addict who still suffers. What happens is people begin to respect you, not believe that you're popular, but you begin to be respected as a member of the program of Narcotics Anonymous through your willingness and your desire to be of service. So I want to tell all the people who I've listened to. I want to tell the Alestas and the Winnies and the Thomas P's and the Harold P's and the Divas and the Zacchaeus. And listen, I want to tell you guys, thank you for sharing your life with us. Thank you for sharing your recovery with us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, Roger, to fan a flame of desire. Listen, I couldn't stop. Listen, I tried everything to stop, and I couldn't stop, and I wanted to. And I had loving parents, listen, who loved me and nurtured me and showed up for me. And I couldn't stop using drugs to say, I couldn't. And listen, at the end, nothing was more, listen, every thought. You know, and sometimes we say, are you going to say something different? Hell no, I got one story. I ain't going to say nothing different. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. It always remains the same. The only thing different is the changes that have taken place. But the shit that happened to get me here is exactly the same. I couldn't stop. You know, I say that, listen, but the people that know me know, listen, I'm pretty secure in being who I am.
And
doing that don't mean that you don't want people to like. Listen, I really want people to like me. But through the 12-step process, I like the person staring back at me in the mirror. And what happens as a result of that is you become unwilling to just do all kinds of stuff just to get acceptance from other people. And I need acceptance from other people. I understand that, that love is the highest spiritual principle. But I'm telling you, prior to getting here, and why we're here, it says that, listen, I have become a failure. And anything that was what successful was frightening. And I ran from the fear, and everywhere I ran, fear seemed to follow me. I was hopeless, worthless, and useless. Listen, I had nothing on the inside. Nothing. Listen, at the end, not every thought, everything I did, not some of what I did. And you know, our literature says that we always find ways and means to get more. Listen, every thought, every breath that I took, every breath, every idea was all focused on finding ways and means to get more. I was willing to do anything for one more, even what you think about right now, to do what I thought about doing it. And it took all of that. I was a bum. I ate out of trash cans. Listen, I was a bum in the end, and it took all of that. All of that to get me here to you guys. And when I got here, I had no idea how a program like this was going to work for me. I had no idea how do you put a bunch of crackhead, dope fiend, alcoholic, pill-popping junkies in the same room and expect somebody not to cop. I couldn't fathom how this would work. So what I say to the newcomer who is phantom, who's trying to figure out how something like this could work, it's a blessing that you don't have to understand the program for it to work. All you have to do is just keep coming. Listen, don't come. This Narcotics Anonymous, narcotics is always about the drug. I don't care how long we stay here. It's about not copping. And through the process of not copping, some things happened for me. One of the things happened was I was able to get the first step deep down in me. Listen, because I want to talk about the step process, right? Because it's talking about, listen, you can't buy this or sell it. It can't be bought, it can't be sold. That's what the thing, look, it can't be bought, it can't be sold. So, the reality of it is, listen, I came in here, I didn't know anything about anything. If it didn't have to do with where to get it at, ooh, wait, how much? I knew nothing about living life without the use of drugs. I don't profess to be able to do that very well now without y'all. Listen, I'm not confused about what I need. So I came here and I got clean August the 30th, 1994. And look, this is so clever. Look, it's beautiful. I got 6,437 days clean. Thanks, y'all, for putting that together for me. I like that. And I got clean in Philadelphia, right? I got sponsees in here, my Robins and my LaDonnas and my Brads. I got my girlfriend Eric. I got my girlfriend Lorraine. And these people watch me. They watch me. Matthew in here somewhere, and I give shout outs. Why? Because people are just as responsible for helping me through the God of their understanding as through the God of mine. I don't discount the fellowship. I don't discount the people who have played valuable roles in my being standing here today with a woman of substance. I'm not here to play down my process to make nobody feel better about theirs. I had a wonderful recovery. Listen, my life, my journey, and that don't mean ain't nothing happened. I've been through stuff. I have struggles. I've been through all kinds of stuff. But I compare everything I go to through the appropriate thing. Listen, everything that I've been through since I've been here, I compare it to one thing. I don't compare what I go through to what you've been through. I don't compare what I don't go through to what you went through. I compare what I've been through to running out of dope. And that's the worst thing that ever happened to me, was running out of dope. And as long as I compare my shit that I go through right now to that, I could get through. Because that's the worst thing that ever happened in my life, was running, not being raped. Listen, as I go through the step process, listen, I was raped. Okay? Sure I was. I want to say it for the record. I'm going to verbally say it. She's going to sign it. and it's going to be on CD, that rape is not right under no circumstance. And the reason that I want to say that, because we need to be careful, because somebody out there is still burning in their issue. Somebody out there is still feeling the initial pain of having to deal with that happening. So I want to provide them some hope that as you stay, what happened to me. Listen, as I stayed clean, as I began to buy into, we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable, I began to understand that as long as I accept my powerlessness over the disease of addiction, that and not cop drugs, that I get empowered with something called choice. So now I have this choice, something that I didn't have. Because I don't know about you, I had to cop. Listen, you can't get high today because your son need Pampers. There was no, you can't get high today because you need some feminine products. There was no, you can't get high today because there ain't no food for your baby to eat. There wasn't choices. Listen, I had to use. And as I came into the process and I started listening to the predecessor, as I started listening to the members who paved the way through their hard-won experience, as I started listening to people who made it here before me, who have lived through some experiences without copping, I realized that if they could not cop through that, I could not cop through this. So I stopped using drugs and I began to put some clean days together. And put some clean days together, kind of lined me up without my permission and thrust me into the void. That hole inside of me that had nothing good in it, that all it was filled with was pain and guilt and shame and disgust and disgrace and anger and resentment and fear and feelings of humiliations and inadequacies and less than and jealous and envy and greed and dishonesty and manipulation. All that stuff was in there. And I had no idea what I was going to do with that stuff, because the thing that I always did with it, I had made a decision I wasn't going to do. And that was, listen, drug was my everything. It meant, listen, it was everything. It worked for the funeral. It worked for the birth. It worked when they got married, and it worked when they the fuck got divorced. It worked when it was raining, and it worked when it was sunny. Drugs work. Listen, and now I made this decision that I'm not going to use drugs no matter what. And as a result of doing that, I feel all this pain that start coming up that been pushed down. I done pushed it down with dope. I done pushed it down with sex. I done pushed it down with denial. I done pushed it down. I just so, and now I ain't got that thing to keep it down. And it keep coming up. It keep coming up. It keep coming up. And I find myself not knowing what to do with this stuff, but I keep coming to the meeting. I keep coming to the meeting, and I keep, listen, sharing honestly about how much pain I was in early on. I wasn't one of the addicts who could be quiet early. I was in so much pain. I cried all the time. Every time I went to a meeting, whether I shared or not, I would be in a meeting, and I would just sit in my chair, and I would just cry, because I couldn't believe what I had done to my life. I couldn't believe what I had did to my life. And so what I started doing was I started seeing that although I had all this stuff going on, you, my second step initially, you guys, every meeting, every key tag, every pamphlet, every piece of literature, all that stuff, every convention, listen, hanging out with people who had experience. I'm one of those newcomers. When I was new, I didn't really hang out with newcomers. I was afraid to. I didn't think collectively we had what it took to make it. So I hung out with Kenny Ali, Thomas Pinkney, you know, Harold Usman, Brian Kelly, Brahim. Those are the people when I was new that I, listen, because of the kind of job that I had, and my job, the kind of job I had don't really mean nothing except for this. I had the kind of job that although I was a broke newcomer, although I ain't having a whole lot of time, I had a kind of job that I could fly free. So when they flew, I flew. I went to the convention, everywhere they went, I went. And it started becoming, I started getting restored. I started not getting restored to the point that I wasn't in pain. And my restoration was that I could be in pain and not cop. That was the restoration for me. I could never not feel a certain way and not cop. So now I find myself in this excruciating emotional and spiritual pain, and I don't have to put a drug on top of it. That was amazing to me. Could not imagine that I would ever be able to do that. And I found myself doing that, and I was staying clean, and I was making meetings, and I had me a sponsor. And listen, I had two sponsors in this process. My first sponsor used. And then I got my sponsor, who is still my sponsor today. Her name is Roz G, and I love her, and she loves me with all of our hearts. And she helps me, and she listens to me, and I got some sponsoring sisters that I talk to about the things that are going on in my life. I got some close girlfriends that I share. I got some men friends that I share my personal recovery. I share my personal struggles. I share the things that go on in my marriage that I don't really want to talk to all of y'all about because I'm so sensitive. I really can't handle how we take each other's pain and we use it against each other. So I go to a personal network. I go to the personal source of people that love me and him equally, that always lead me back to me. Because the reason that my marriage is not perfect is because I'm in it. That's why it's always fucked up, because I'm in it. Because you can't be married to me and expect to have a perfect relationship. You can't be my son and expect to be in a perfect relationship. You can't work with me and expect to have a perfect relationship. You can't do nothing with me and expect to be perfect, because I need to keep coming. Something is wrong with me. Okay? Something is wrong with me. But I just keep showing up here. And I keep going to my source of strength with the God of my understanding and my personal support group. And they help me look at me, and they help me do the work that's necessary to move into something, to another place in my spirit. Because listen, I could do all this out here that you want. My peace comes from within. So I start feeling better. I start feeling more confident in my clean day. I start feeling more confident in my day clean. I see you, and I see how much time you got, and I see you celebrate. But now, I've come to believe in a power that could restore me. It ain't even no longer all about you. It's always about you, but it ain't all about you. I got an opportunity to stay here too now, and I believe that. So I start working the program based on the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And I asked my sponsor, listen, I need to do more step work. Because my first round of steps, I did them really quickly because I was scared. And they were as thorough and honest as I could be with them at the time. I couldn't talk about nothing else but the drug in my first round, because that's all I believed was the problem. I didn't know that nothing else was the problem. I really believed that if I stopped smoking crack, I was going to get my life back together. I thought crack had messed everything up. I didn't know that when I put it down and I found myself still wallowing in self-loathing and self-hatred. Still insecure and always feeling inadequate, always comparing myself to everybody else, and I always end up with the short end of the stick. Still believing that I needed some other people to take care of me. Not believing that I had what it took on the inside to be okay in my own skin. I hated me. The self-accepted pants of me. Saying I rejected you because I thought you was going to reject me. Because I thought you, if you really knew me, you would hate me also. Which by nature implied that I already hate myself. So I started doing some different things. I started like doing step work. I started understanding how important it was for me to just, step away from the relationships with men. Not because I have, I don't have issues with men. Men are marvelous. Okay? Listen, the guy that raped me, it was about 3:30 in the morning. Right? And I was, trying to get one. And I was walking down, I was on Ridge Avenue between 29th and 28th. And the gentleman And I'm going to call him a gentleman. I'm going to call him a gentleman because of this, and I'll explain why. The gentleman pulled up next to me and said, "What's up?" And I said, "What's up with you?" And he said, "I got $5. And $5 was really a high price considering whatever. Because I don't have no maximum amount or minimum amount that I wouldn't be willing to do to get mine. I don't know about you. Maybe you did whatever it took. If I had $4.99 and they wouldn't let me go for a penny, I might do you for a penny. I don't know. I would do whatever it took to get one more. Anything. Anything. Right? So I got in his car and we drove out the park and he raped me. Now that was wrong. He should not have did that to me. Right? That wasn't right. And if he was going to do it, my thought was, bitch, you still could have, can I still get my $5? Listen, because I was dead on the inside. I couldn't feel nothing. I didn't feel nothing about being raped. It wasn't even rape to me. It was part of the game. Listen, I didn't, my perception was so distorted. That way it didn't feel like rape. Listen, it feel like what might happen. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, and I stayed in the process, and the second step kind of thrust me, because I was always thrust to the next level, based on pain. Not because I'm no goody two-shoe, not because I want to be the perfect model of the recovery. There is none, and I don't care who you is, how much time you got. We got to keep coming. I was thrust to do the next thing on cotton. So I'm in two, and you guys are wonderful, and I'm believing you, and you're teaching me about how to stay clean, and you're teaching me how to talk about how I'm feeling. You're teaching me how to identify what I'm feeling. I'm finding myself okay as long as I'm with you. As long as I'm at the meeting or the marathon or the dance, or as long as I'm surrounded by you guys, my shield of protection. I'm okay, but when I go home at night by myself and all the pain of what I've done to my life surface in the middle of the night, I'm thrust to maybe examine the next step and make a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of a God of my understanding, and I don't understand. I have no relationship, never did. I just had an awareness that there was something that other people called God. And I didn't hate him or love him. There was nothing. There was no interaction, no involvement whatsoever. And I wasn't sure how to go about this task of developing one. But again, I had you guys to help me, to tell me your experience, to tell me what you did, to tell me how to pray. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to pray. And the disease of addiction will always use certain things to make you think that you can't get to the next place. So when I finally made a decision that I was willing to give this thing called a third step to kind of find a God of my own understanding, just a try, I was reminded by the lower power, you don't know how to pray. And then I was reminded by this quiet voice that today I identified as the God that has lived with me all the days of my life. I just didn't know how to call him. It was this little voice that always gave me good direction, but I always listened to the loud one and said, fuck it, do what you want to do. So this little voice said, you know how to pray? Remember when you was a little girl and used to say, now I lay me down to sleep? And I would say early on, I would say, now I lay me down to sleep. And that prayer was sufficient. It brought me comfort in the wee hours of the morning. It helped me make it through the next day with my clean time in my mind intact, because my clean date wasn't the only thing at risk. I was at risk of losing my mind based on what I had put myself through. And so I'm equipped somewhat to go to next process, thrust into the next process, was trying to put all of it together. What happened to you? From your perspective, your distorted perspective of what happened to you, write it down. Who you're resentful? What you're mad about? Why you always, what do you always do? What situations have you always found yourself at the same place? Different face,
different name, different address, but the same shit over and over and over and over. What's wrong with you? Why you keep ending up there? And I was able to write that stuff down. And I had built this wonderfully loving, a non-judgmental relationship. There are people around here who love you to life. That newcomer, we don't care about what you use. Race, creed, religion, lack of religion. Who your connections was, we want to know what is your problem and how can we help. And there are people, listen, there's hundreds of thousands of them all over the world, newcomer. There's addicts for the first time in man's entire history. A proven program has thrown his life into addicts. It's a spiritual, not religious program called Narcotics Anonymous. Listen, when at the end of the road, listen, at the end, when you find that you can no longer go on. Listen, this thing bad. So I begin writing. And I begin writing things and writing things and writing things. And I wrote a lot of stuff. And when I wrote it, listen, when I do my step work, from the first time I did it to this day right here, I try to give it everything that I got. I pray and I write down what comes to mind. Early on, what came to mind was still based on the distorted perception that I had of the things that had happened in my life. And when I first had the first opportunity to sit down and communicate my life as I knew it to be, as I believed it to be, as I remembered it to be. Thank God I had a sponsor who had experienced the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and had a God of her understanding who had enough courage to take me in to help me examine some of this stuff. One of the first things I found out in the fourth and fifth as they combined themselves together through sponsorship was that I had resentments with my father. Now that resentment tailor-shaped all the relationships I had with men prior to getting here. And my first one that I had here. I've had two significant relationships since I've been in the room of Narcotics Anonymous. The first one was based out of my resentment with my dad. Now, what was the resentment? My daddy was a pain in the ass. That was my initial understanding of my father. It was a perception that was developed by a 12-year-old little girl. It's only now that I understand how awesome of a father I had. I didn't know anything about real men at 12, and nor should I. But yet I still was able to make a decision about men based on my 12-year-old perception. And what had happened to me was, I made sure that I picked men that were the complete opposite of my daddy. And in order to be a man that's the complete opposite of my daddy, there's only two things. My daddy was a man. So all the men I sought out was pussies. Listen, I ain't here to be make nobody mad, but I'm just telling you what had happened to me. I'm telling you what my resentment, the kind of men I sought out, men that needed to be taken care of. I sought out men that they knew not to be asking me too many fucking questions. Don't be asking me why I'm coming in at 5. Don't be asking me where I'm at. Don't be, listen, I sought out those kind of people that I needed to give them money to get their hair cut. Here, go buy your pair of sneakers. You know, that kind of needy, because, listen, I needed to be in control. And what had happened was, I liked being in control, but I never respect the man that was in my life. And anytime I ran into a real man who had said, you know, who you talking to like that, I was out. It was the fuck over. Because he immediately made me think about my dad. That was the first thing that happened. It put me in a place where I didn't know how to have good relationships with men because my picker was based on distortion. The second thing that I got in touch with, I had a sister. And I don't know if nobody in here from Philly that knew my sister. I don't know if Bonnie, listen, I had a sister named Lisa that was bad. Listen, this bitch make Marilyn Monroe look like bullshit. This girl was bad. and I hated her. I was jealous of her and I hated her. And I was her big sister and she idolized me. And listen, when she was about 23, somebody slipped her something and she had a, you know, and she ain't never been right since. And when she started taking the medication and stuff, she got fat and out of shape, and I was happy about that. I was happy about that. I was happy that because I no longer had to deal with the jealousy. I had no longer had to be envious of her, because now in my sickness, thought in mine, I was the shit. I'm the bad bitch now. Now, how you like that? In my mind. And I had to write about that. And I wrote about it. And I felt shameful about it. And I felt guilty about it. And I took all that stuff, all that guilt and that jealousy and that envy and all that stuff got carried over into 6 and 7. And I realized that I was doing really, really well in my recovery process. I was staying clean. I'm making meetings regularly. I'm connecting with other recovering women and men. I'm not sleeping around. I'm doing all the things that I need to do so that I can, you know, continue to get better. And I get to the 6 and 7 step, and I don't, and the 6 and 7 step reminds me, just through by nature of what it needs to do for me, that this ain't about how nice and wonderful you doing. This is about how fucked up you is. And it's about that no matter how many people you surround yourself with, no matter who your sponsor is or how much she share or who she talked to or who she connected to, she can't stop the process. She can't change her, baby. It's bigger than your sponsor, bitch. It's bigger than your sponsor. It's bigger than your support group. It's bigger than all the recovering addicts sitting in this room. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. You got to take that thing and you got to gut that thing up to the root. And sacrifices must be made. What you willing to sacrifice? You can't get better if you ain't willing to go through the pain of withdrawal. What you willing to give up? How uncomfortable are you willing to be? How uncomfortable are you willing to put yourself in a space where certain people don't want to be with you no more? Where certain people don't want to walk with you no more? Because you ain't been it. You ain't doing what they think you should. You ain't saying what they want you to say. And now the road getting narrow. Only at the beginning. Because as you walk, you find there's a whole lot of people on the road going the same fucking way you go. You all right. You ain't going to be by yourself. There's a lot of recovering addicts that want to get better. You ain't the only one. You're not unique. So I begin to look at my inadequacies, feelings of inadequacy, because I'm not inadequate, but I feel inadequate. I begin to look at my jealousy, because I am jealous. And I'm jealous by people. I was one of those kind of girls like this. Sherman, I don't like her. Well, Anne Marie, why you don't like her? I don't know. I just don't like the bitch. I don't even need valid reasons for not liking people. I just come from the schoolyard, straight from the school daughter on your ass. Just a little girl in a woman's body who have no way or I don't like her because you don't like her. So I found myself identifying that I suffer with those behaviors. And I begin to decisively, one at a time, deal with the one that's pressing me to back up against the wall the most. The one at the, and there's been many. And there's been different stages and different times and different times that these things are serving. Listen, medicine, religion, and psychiatry. Go, go, go. I listen to a boy today. And I don't know who he is and I don't know if he's here. But listen, I'm telling you. There's a boy named Jabril. Jabril got like about 4 years clean. Listen, Jabril did a baddest shit on. Listen, this boy bad. I recommend that you, when you go downstairs, listen, if you want to know something about being, listen, I'm talking about not telling the truth. I'm talking not to being honest. I'm talking about telling the truth about who you really, really are and what you really, really suffer from. Ask for a CD. I'm telling you. He has helped me so much with my process of telling myself the truth, telling myself the truth about who I really, really am. And what I find, you know, and what happens through the expectation of that from a, see, I know that it's only important that I tell myself the truth about who I am, because the reality of it is the expectation of other people will always disappoint you. Because a lot of times when you're telling the truth about who you are and how you really, really live in, and it's pretty good, and you're behaving pretty well based on the principles that you practice in your life, people get mad and they want to say, she thinks she the perfect man. Listen, I'm telling you, I try to be the fuck obedient. Disobedience has almost destroyed my life. I really, 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 really every day try. And do I fuck up? Absolutely. Yes, I do. But I'm telling you, through working this program, I get really, really good days at being a basic, decent fucking human being. I really, really do. And I'm so glad that I've grown to a place in my life through acknowledging that God is who I need to go to be changed. That God will not only arrest my defects, he will remove them if I give him permission to, if I do my part to tell myself no. See, I can't get better because I don't want to make the sacrifice. Listen, you can say to me, you can say, no, baby. You can say, sweetheart, no. You can say, fuck no. I don't care how you say it. I hate no. So the sacrifice to get better requires me to tell myself no. It requires me to tell myself, no, Anne-Marie, you can't respond to that. No, Anne-Marie, you can't go and ask her why she said that about you. The first step says she can say any fucking thing about you she wants to say. You have no, you know, people call me and they say, such and such, say, I should go, and I always tell them, listen, go and say what? I don't address that. Listen, I've learned through practice, I don't go to people and ask them why they said this, why they said that. I get texts from, listen, I'm a married woman, I'm a happily married woman, I love my husband, Ghost, his name is Kasib, I want to give you a shout out, Kasib, hey dog, what's up? He ain't here, but I'm going to shout him out any motherfucking way, because he let me come without, okay? So I'm going to shout him out anyway, because I love him, and he loves me, he's one of my, anybody from Baltimore, this, that town, listen, ladies, I took one from y'all, Jack Diamond. Got one. I just want the ladies from Baltimore to know that I snatched one of them up out y'all city bag. Just won't say that. Just won't say that. Right? Look, because I believe if you got a gift in your life, you need to give them the acknowledgement that they deserve. Right? So I just know that through my six and seven steps, I be with women. I hang out with women. Married. Single, they could be hoes. I was a hoe. You know, a lot of times as we stay in the process, we get to a place in our life where God blesses us in an area, because we get blessed in areas. Nobody's good all across the board. I'm good over, I did this right, I did this right, I fucked that up. I did this right, I did that right, I fucked that up. It's like an up and down, up and down, up and down. I just gotta keep coming, I gotta keep coming. But I'm telling you, one of the things that I find is the most discouraging is when all of us, because most of us came in here hoes, if not all of us, I will dare to say. But when we come and we do the work that's necessary to become ladies, and I was taught how to be a lady by the men in Narcotics Anonymous, not the women. I had ladies who were women in recovery who were already women who act ladylike, so I knew how to model that. But I needed the men to help me practice it. The women taught me how to walk. They taught me how to dress. They taught me that just because they can see it all don't mean it's not the best thing. That's just for me. I'm a 53-year-old woman, right? And I want to be a grown. I want to be a grown, sexy. I want to grow old gracefully, and I want to be grown, and I want to be classy, and I want to be ladylike. That's what I want to be for me. And in order to do that, I go to grown, sexy, classy women and ask them how to do this. Newcomer, that's what I did. I allowed the women in Narcotics Anonymous to teach me how to act sexy and how to dress sexy and how to be a lady and how to, you know, carry myself like a lady and how to tell, just because it, listen, look, even when you marry, listen, I've been here all weekend. I'm married, not blind. There's beautiful men all over the world. I travel all over the world. But I listen, it's okay. I'm not blind, but I practice being faithful to the God of my understanding, which makes it easy to be faithful to my husband. I'm faithful to God. I love God. God, listen, I love God. And I know that there's prices to pay when I'm not practicing and being who, listen, I'm the daughter of the King. Do you understand? I have a responsibility to act like who I belong to. I need to walk like I belong to him. And I try to do that. I try to do that. Listen, as I examined and came to grips with that my sponsor couldn't change me, she could guide me in a process to get me to the place where I could ask for the change. She could tell me, you know, assist me in helping me, you know, identify what needed to be changed. But once she helped me identify it, I needed to take what it was to the master. And I was able to do that, and I'm still able to do that. I still go to God. And listen, I'm a new mother. My son's 30 years old, but I opted to adopt children. And I've had these new children in my life, four, going on 5 years, and it's quite a challenge because my self-centeredness was not tested until I got those children. See, my son, by the time I got him back, was like 12. He was pretty self-sufficient. I just needed to feed him, and I didn't have to do homework with him. I didn't have to go up to the playground and to the ride bikes and skates and all that bullshit. I didn't have to do all that. But these new children and what I'm working with, or what I say I'm working with, I say I'm a recovering act. I say that I understand that you can only be great through your service to other people. Nothing else makes you great. I don't care what you wear. I don't care what you drive. God don't care what you kind of house you live in. God don't care that you got a swimming pool in your back. God don't care. God want to know, have you helped somebody? Who have you shared what I've given you with? Who have you gave some of your time to? So I understand that through my, but I'm telling you, when I first got my daughter, listen, I was riding. My girlfriend, Des, she's not here today. I got a girlfriend named Desiree in Philadelphia. And I got a couple of girlfriends, and we all love Frankie Beverly. And I know a lot of y'all love Frankie too. Frankie's sexy, right? Right? We like Frankie. And when I first got my daughter, I got a phone call one night about 8 o'clock saying, I got 2 tickets to see Frankie. You want to go? So I said, yeah, I want to go. And you know, Frankie like white. So I got up and I took a shower and I went in my closet to find me some white to put on. And I took, you know, I put my little stuff on, and I thought I was looking good. And out of all the women in the audience, Frankie was going to choose me, right? That's how I was feeling. I got in my car. I started my car up. I was halfway down the highway when I realized I had this 5-year-old little girl sleep in the house. And I'm telling you, I would like to tell you that I turned around and went right back home. And I did turn around and go back home, but I'm telling you, I was angry. I was angry that she was there. I was angry that she was interfering with what the fuck I want to do. I'm used to doing what I want to do, and I'm here to tell you that almost 5 years later, I still have my moments when I say, why did you do this? What were you thinking about, girl? You was out of the baby game. You had an opportunity to do what you wanted to do. And then I remember my 8th step. And how many times my biological son, who was 30 years old, ended up on there. He ended up on there year after year after year. He kept, even after I got him back. Even after you guys had showed me how to be a better mother. Even after I was showing up at all his baseball games. And I was showing up and I was cooking and I was going home every day. He still, something deep down in me still didn't feel like the men's was sufficient based on the pain and misery that I had caused him all the way up to he was 12 years old when I got him back. And last year, a year and a half ago, I went over my steps again, and I wrote my 8th step, and I met with my sponsor, and we did our little thing, and we talked about, the list, because there's always a list. I want y'all to know that. I'm sorry, unfortunately, I haven't had, where I could call and say, listen, we ain't got to do shit. I ain't got nobody. I ain't got nobody this time. No, I ain't had that happen yet. You know what I mean? So I had a list, right? And we did my work, and after it was all over, and she hugged me, and we talked about some things that I could possibly do, you know, when God set the stage, you know, some stuff I need to do right now. And she, after it was all over, she said to me, she said, "Boo." And I said, "What, right?" She said, "Lanier wasn't on here. And that's my son. And some kind of way, just intuitively, God has given me permission to take him off. Because through these children that God has placed in my life for me to love and nurture and provide and protect and teach about God, he has allowed me to forgive myself and let myself off the hook. And what I do is I continue through the ninth step continues to play itself out in that area of my life. I treat my friends fairly. I'm in a management position on my job, and I treat the people who work with me as a part of my team. I treat the people who I am in service to care for as a part of my customer. I treat them with courtesy, dignity, and respect, and I treat them fairly. But I believe that my ninth step continues to give me opportunity to love and nurture these children in my life, and I do that. I nurture these children, I love them, I care for them, I take them places, I show them the world, I take them out the country, and I do things with them so that they can know that no matter what their experience has been, that the God of that they are coming to love has always been there to protect them. That's how we made it out. God has always protected me. That's why I'm standing here right now. Had he blinked for 1 second, had he took his eye off me for 1 second, I shudder to think where I might be at if he had took an eye off of me for 1 second. I am grateful for his grace. I am grateful for his mercy. So I continue to look at my behaviors. I continue to be mindful how I talk to people. I continue to be mindful how I treat people. I don't allow other people's relationship issues to dictate what decisions I make in relationship. You know, a lot of times people ain't getting along and they going through stuff and they want you to make decisions based on what they going through. I don't do it. I am not in here to get your acceptance, although I want it. I have always suffered with a self-acceptance issue. Self-acceptance was my problem. You know, I've always been pretty good at getting along with people. Me and my girlfriend Tanner, we talk about mastering fellowship. Because contrary to popular belief, I'm really a loner. Anybody that knows me, that really knows me, no, I roll by myself. I'm really alone. But I love people, and I'm able to get into the masses and communicate and laugh and play and talk. But believe me, when the bitch get in her car, step on the gas. Most of the time, my road dog ain't in a car. I'm be riding by myself. And it's not because I'm isolated. I live a full life. I do a lot of things. I came here, and I believed that I could stop using drugs. And that belief led to me believing that I could do some other things. I believed to pursue some of my dreams. I went back to school. You know, school is listen, the piece of paper that they give you is not the prize. That's not the prize. So when we are telling people that education has nothing to do with this, that you're saying that perseverance and commitment and sacrifice and dedication is not important. They're spiritual principles. Everything is relative to getting better. Listen, you got our literature gives us permission to seek out our lost dreams. And if you dream, one of my dreams was to be a ballerina. But don't nobody want no old ass ballerina, right? By the time I got here, I was in my 30s, and the gig was up, it was too late. So the literature set us up for that too. It says new possibilities arise. So if you here and you can't pursue your lost dream for whatever reason, maybe it's a health issue that's stopping you from doing what you always wanted to do. Find something else to do. Listen, one of the newcomers, one of the hardest things, one of the worst enemies, listen, the enemy of the adequate clean time is complacency. The enemy of the adequate little bit of time is boredom. We get tired, because I remember being new, and it's like, this is it? This is all? All I'm going to get to do is make me? Is it? Listen, I'm telling you, do something. Do other stuff. Get involved in service. Get on our committees. Get in your home group. Sweep the floor. Put the chairs up. Go down your area service. Ask, can you be involved? Ask questions. Do something. Hug somebody. If they ain't got no huggers at your home group, ask, can you be one? Listen, you're a member. When you say you're a member. So I came, and what I do now is I just continue to monitor my behavior, my thinking, how I treat other people. You know, I don't talk about people a lot, but I like to talk about people. That's just the truth. It ain't right, but I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, I do. You know, so what I do, I got two or three people that I can talk about anybody in the world with. And it ain't right. And one day we're going to tell each other it ain't right. But right now we have fun with it. We talk about a motherfucker like it ain't no tomorrow. And it ain't right. I'm telling you it ain't right. I'm just telling you what I do. I'm just telling you the areas that I still suffer in. I'm just telling you the areas that I haven't made a decision to go to God and ask Him to remove it from me yet. And I know that I need to, but I haven't done it yet. And maybe I'll do it today, and maybe I won't. I know that the initial recognition of that it's wrong is where everything started for me. And then 11, I continue to sought, to seek, to look for it through a whole bunch of avenues. You know, I read stuff. I listen to stuff. You know, I read our literature. There's some other literature that I read. You know what I mean? Me and my husband, we practice two different religions. You know what I mean? I read my stuff. I read his stuff. You know what I mean? People hand me stuff when I'm walking on the street. And they hand you little booklets to read. And I read that. And I read. And I'm just continue to try to improve this wonderful, wonderful relationship that I have with the God of my understanding. Because I understand that it's only through Him that anything is possible. I understand that this is about finding God. It's about finding out what His task is for me. What is my assignment? What is it that I need to do today so that I can be a better person? Because nothing else that I do pleases Him. My two master's degrees and me seeking my doctorate and none of that stuff is, God don't, that stuff don't do nothing for Him. He gave me the wherewithal to do it because my God also gives me the desires of my heart. But those were my desires. And He just, you know, allowed me to do that. He has other assignments for me and they have nothing to do with that outside stuff. It has nothing to do with seeking degrees and job and promotions and cars. It had nothing to do with that. Not his specific assignment is always attached to being of service to somebody. All of God's specific assignments for me have always been attached to things that I really, really, really... Are you sure? I'm not sure that I want to do that. I didn't get it. I never made no decision to adopt. No, I don't even like fucking kids. I really don't. And everybody that know me know that, you know, I really don't. I'm really good with them. I really am good with them. I had the ability through some gift that God has given me on the inside to touch them, to facilitate through His help to change their spiritual condition, to make them understand that they are worthy to be here and that their experience one day is going to pay off and help some other child. But I didn't ask to adopt no damn kids. I wanted them to place them with me till they found them some place to go. But it's 5 years later, and they're legally adopted. They my kids. And on a lot of days, they the best that I am. A lot of days, because it's easy to come in here and talk to y'all. Y'all talk the same language I talk. Y'all front like I front. Y'all hug me when y'all don't want to hug me like I hug some of y'all when I want to hug some of y'all. You know, y'all let me be nasty and arrogant and self-righteous and judgmental and uppity. Y'all let me do all this shit and still don't tell me, keep coming back. My kids is where I see evidence, the real evidence of how I live this program. My husband who is a womanizer. Good man. You know what I mean? But sometimes, you know, because I have no humility. Because I, you know, I still every now and then that little girl who said I would never let no man tell me what to do, she resurface. And I'd be like, what? And then I have to check myself. Not because he want me to check myself. God wants me to check myself. Because real men need to be talked to like real men. Real women need to be treated like real women. You know what I mean? So I'm understanding that through my prayers, God is always putting me, he's helping do, he's doing his best work through me, through my helping other people. Talking to y'all is fine. But one of the things about this program is it's so easy to do this in here. And it's more challenging, not impossible. It's more challenging to take the show on the road. That's why so many of us won't really do nothing. That's why so many of us won't extend ourselves out and take risks to do other things. Don't be scared. Go. Listen, the same God that brought you from the muck and the mud. You know, people say he don't work in chaos and cute confusion. Well, he got me from the crack house. Oh, yes, he do. Oh, yes, he do. That's where he got me from. He didn't come and get me from the church, the nunnery. He came and got a hoe off the hoe stro and brought it to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and cleaned her up on the outside first. So let's stop beating people up when they dress up into what, but they still fuck. That's where recovery start at. It started on the outside. We don't know, I didn't know nothing about the inside. I started recovering on the outside. I started getting my hair done. I started putting on clean panties every day. I started brushing my teeth every day and going to the $7 store and getting me an outfit for the meeting. A new $7 outfit because I had to have a new one to go down to the dance. Listen, that's where it started. And then it started, I started realizing that I could be dressed up and feel so bad. And we get there in our individual process. And I got there through going to God and building a better relationship with him and continuing to try to improve that relationship with him. And then I did all that stuff. I told y'all all my business. I told y'all about our hold and I tricked and I stole and I abandoned my son. I stole my dad's sister money when she died and they bought the box to that. I told y'all all kinds of stuff only to get to 12 and realize that I ain't did none of that for me. None of that stuff wasn't for me. All that stuff was to prepare me for him to be able to use me to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And our message is that an addict, any addict, any. Listen, because no matter how long we stay here, it's so important that we remember that we got to keep fanning the flame of desire for the member that walk in the door, whether they get here for the first time or whether it's the 20th time. It's our job as 12-step members of this program to welcome them like we never seen them before and love them and hug them and let them know that they too can recover a day at a time. Because the reality of it is, no matter how long we've been here, our literature says that not one of us can make good decisions consistently by ourselves. We need each other. And it don't matter where you think you plugged in. Go where you want to go. Go to the church. Go to the mass gym. The 11th step gives you permission to seek stuff out. It absolutely do. We is a spiritual program, but the 11th step gives you permission to seek, to examine, to explore. And when you find where you belong, go there and do your thing. In that arena. Need medication? Take it. Whether it be for your mental illness or whether it be for your physical ailments, take the shit like the doctor prescribed. Recovery and relapse and take the shit. Psychiatry. With our crazy ass, go share. Tell them what's the fuck going on. Lay on the couch and share your ass off. Go ahead. But I want to remind you that our literature says that medicine, religion, and psychiatry, none of those methods were sufficient for us. The disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we seek help from each other. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel, which means ain't nothing like it in the whole motherfucking world. Can't nobody help us like we help each other. Listen, so go ahead and pursue your dreams. Go ahead. Listen, don't let people be telling you about shit like don't let it divert you. It's it divert you. Listen, What does divert you from your primary purpose mean? It means when you get the new bitch, drive that bitch to the meeting. That's what it means. It don't mean don't get it. Get it, get it, get it. Don't stop. Get it, don't stop. Get it. Get it. Get it, goddamn, get it. That's what it means. We keep taking our literature and beating people over the head and making them feel bad about their accomplishments and the shit that they worked hard for. You read the literature, get a dictionary, look shit up so you can know what the fuck you talking about. Because that's what I had to do. Listen, I got a friend, I don't know if he's in here, but listen, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be quiet. Listen, I got a friend and he said something one day so profound. He said he was a man with no purpose and no direction. No one to love me for me. And then you came into my life. You made my jagged edges smooth. You made my direction so clear in you all. You became my purpose. My reason for living, you're my heart, you're my soul, you're my strong inspiration. Listen, Narcotics Anonymous is everything to me. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Everything that is of any value in my life, everything that's good, every struggle that I have that I get to the other side is always one of your faces that at the end of the tunnel. Every experience, every joy that I've ever celebrated, I've celebrated it with you. You guys were my wedding party. Listen, you were my reception party. Everything that has ever did anything to make me feel okay about myself is directly connected to the program. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I get so filled up with this program, newcomer. Listen, I don't know if you believe this program will work for you, but I'm telling you, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop, and I came here, and I didn't do nothing miraculous, newcomer. I didn't know a whole lot, and I didn't have anything. But what I had was a bunch of people who had got here before me that paved the way for a hope to die crackhead like myself, who was willing to love me to life. So I don't never wanna, and I've been doing it quite often because I don't think we do it enough. I think we spend too much time fucking with the predecessor. Their hard-won experience gave birth. Listen, they was able to stay clean before there was a fucking step book. They was able to not shoot dope and smoke crack before we had all these fucking pamphlets and keychains and shit. They stayed clean just the fuck because they had each other. We got all this shit and we listen to predecessor is the bomb. And I always take opportunity because I don't give a fuck what they doing or what they ain't doing. The one thing they is doing is no matter what has happened, they ain't got the fuck high no matter what. And if you don't want nothing else newcomer, you the fuck better want that. So I want to tell you, newcomer, that this thing ain't rocket science. And I'm telling you, we ain't promising you nothing but one thing. We promise you freedom from active addiction. Everything else, you're responsible to fucking get it, get it, get it. Listen, I'm telling you that our message is that an addict, any addict, could stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and a promise of freedom. Listen, I love you, and I thank God that you guys love me. Thanks.
All right. Hey, before we say the serenity prayer, can we say the serenity prayer? God.